Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We've been talking about one of the great patriarchs of the faith, about Moses. But we often think about Moses in terms of that Charlton Heston image of somebody that bursts on the scene, strong, powerful, self-confident, self-assured, knows what he's about, stands in front of Pharaoh with his staff demanding that Pharaoh listen to the Lord God, then parting the Red Sea and allowing his people to leave Egypt into a new prosperous land. And that's the image that sometimes we have with Moses. But oftentimes we don't see that in our own lives. We feel almost the complete opposite. We struggle sometimes to figure out what our life is all about. We don't feel that self-confident. We don't know where God is in our life. And sometimes, like this image, we go through life in times of desert. Moses spent a considerable time in the desert as a nomad. He left Egypt. He had been raised in Pharaoh's household. It says in Exodus that he had learned the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had become eloquent in his speech through the Egyptians. But he had some problems dealing with both the Egyptians finding his identity with the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And finally, he left and he escaped into a land of Midian, where for 40 years he became a foreigner in that land. And he wandered as a nomad, trying to figure out, what is my life about? He had such promise. He was raised in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's kingdom and probably would have had a good job in Pharaoh's kingdom. But it all kind of collapsed, and maybe he's going, what happened to my life? What happened to that dream? And for 40 years he wandered. And maybe we find that in our own life. Maybe you know somebody in your own life that is going through a desert moment, a time of uncertainty, a time of wandering, a time of aimlessness. What is my life about? Moses went through that. And we want to ask ourselves, what is God doing during those 40 years? What is the purpose of that desert life? What is that experience like? How did it shape Moses? And more importantly, how is it shaping you? Maybe you find that you're in a desert moment, and there's one truth that I want you to understand, or maybe you've already discerned it. You will face desert moments in your life. We do not get to choose whether we go through those moments or not. We only get to choose how we respond to them. So this morning I want us to think about those desert moments, either for you that you're going through one or somebody that you know. How do we live in those moments of dryness, those times of wandering aimlessly, saying, God, where are you now? Moses went through that, and it was critical to his character to shape who he was. And for you and for your family and for those around you, it is critical for you as well. So as we open up the scriptures this morning, we're going to look at a passage from Exodus chapter 3, which is kind of at the end of Moses' wilderness journey as he begins a new calling on his life. Let us open up God's word and let it speak to us about the truth of who we are and what God has planned for us. Would you join with me? Let us center our lives on his word. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, there are always times and seasons when we feel dry and alone, that you allow growth to take place in our lives, that there is pain and suffering. We pray, O God, that in our time together you would continue to work on our lives, to draw us out into a better, greater, spacious land, flowing with milk and honey and spirit and love and joy. Allow our time of worship to speak to our heart, and allow your word to penetrate the dryness of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a number of TV shows. I kind of watch the number of new TV shows that are coming out, and a lot of the TV shows that I've noticed that are beginning to become real popular are all kind of really competitive shows. There are shows like Project Runway, where people compete, and at the end of every show, somebody gets cut off of the show. Or there's a show called Top Chef, where they cook, and they compete, and they start with a large group, and as the group progresses, each week, somebody gets cut off. Somebody doesn't make the cut. There are shows like Survivor, there are shows like Lost, there are shows like Chopped. Somebody is always getting cut off of the show. And as a result, we create for ourselves a mindset where our life is valued or our life has meaning if we reach the top of the pyramid, if we are the last one standing. We were watching the other day that show, Project Runway, where all of these people are competing and somebody got cut off and they were just in tears, they were just distraught. And I thought it kind of strange because there was a group of about 8 or 9 people in this group, and you kind of go, now you understand there are about 9 of you. 8 of you are going to get cut. Now the odds are against you, but they had become so absorbed in trying to reach that pinnacle. And if we don't reach that pinnacle, then our life has no meaning. The story of Moses is one of trying to understand what is the purpose of God in our lives. If we don't reach that pinnacle, does our life have meaning? Moses had grown up in Pharaoh's kingdom. Moses had his stock was on the rise. He had become wise in the wisdom of the Egyptians. He'd become eloquent in his speech, but there was something missing from his life. He didn't know whether he belonged to the Egyptians or to the Hebrews. And so finally, he, in a moment where he sees an Egyptian attacking a Hebrew, he rushes in with emotion and with passion. He kills the Egyptians, expecting these people to embrace him, and they don't. "You're not one of us." And he's lost. And he said, "What does it mean?" And so he flees Egypt and finally settles in the desert region of Midian. We all go through seasons of a desert, a time of reflection of what does our life mean? Sometimes deserts are thrust upon you. Maybe a desert moment is when we struggle when the doctor's report comes in and it's not what you thought. Maybe it's a relationship that begins to fall apart. Maybe it's times when you sit around a table at Thanksgiving and you notice that there is an empty chair. Sometimes desert moments require us that silent moment of reflection of saying, what does life mean? When all of the greenery and all of the pleasures have been stripped away, what does my life truly mean? And so I want to define for us, desert does not just mean a dry, arid place. I want us to think about this morning a desert as being a season in your life where life is difficult and God seems distant. We find a time of just wondering, what does my life mean? Where am I? Which way do I go next? Does my life have a purpose? Does my life have a meaning? Does anybody know that I'm out here? And for 40 years, Moses had wandered through a desert season. His life had been saved on the Nile, almost miraculously, found by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's home, and here he is as a shepherd in Midian, lost and alone. If you have not been, or you know somebody that is going through a desert experience, then you understand how it affects you, how it changes what's going on inside you, how it changes your attitudes about yourself and about others. This morning, we want to look at what can we learn from these experiences, from those desert moments? Is there something that we can understand that will help us not only grow, but also to flourish in the midst of those desert moments? Why does God allow Moses 40 years of silence and wondering? What's important about those moments? The first thing that I want us to understand about deserts is that sometimes deserts can define you. They'll define who you are. If you're not careful, they will shape you and they will be so tragic. And sometimes you probably know people, either in your own family or in your own household, that have had some tragic event in their life. Maybe it was a very critical parent as you were growing up. Maybe it was somebody that was hard in your job or a relationship that fell apart that so defines you, it restricts who you are. And you become, and you absorb that into yourself. This is who I am. Nothing ever good happens to me. Moses, in Exodus chapter 2, when it says Zipporah gave birth to a son, Moses' first son, and Moses names him Gershom because he says, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. That's who I am. Moses had absorbed that identity. I'm just a stranger in a strange land. I don't belong here, and I don't belong anywhere. Almost as if he's saying, I don't belong on planet Earth. My life is a waste. He had gotten to that point where it had begun to define him. And we too can absorb that at such a powerful level that it restricts who we are and our soul becomes twisted. Let me give you this image. This is a little turtle named Peanut. Peanut was found by a man in Kentucky. And apparently as Peanut was growing up, he had somehow wandered into a six-pack ring, this one of those plastic rings. It had so restricted him and become bound to him that he couldn't get out of it, that he began to grow around that restriction. But I don't know about you, but even looking at that, even though the turtle can still move, do you not even get a sense of the pain and the restriction? Do you not get a sense of just, if you had that, if you could see that turtle, is there not just something in you that wants to cut it free, liberate it from that restriction? Because the turtle can't do it himself. And yet we know people that there's some event that has happened in their life that has so restricted them that they are deformed as a result of it. Their life continues to grow, but it grows around the restriction. There's some pain in their life that they can't let go. They're unable to release it themselves, and they can't find anybody to let go. Desert experiences, if not taken care of properly, will deform your soul. It will grow around you, but you will become perhaps bitter, angry, guarded as a result of something that has happened in your past. You can't release it and it becomes part of who you are. Moses is in that place. I am a foreigner in a foreign land. That's all I'll ever be. And for 40 years, he wanders in the desert aimlessly, not living for himself and not living for God, having no real purpose. We have to take this seriously, not just for us, but what about our children that are growing up? What are the things that they are facing? Are we allowing them to liberate themselves from those restrictions of, look at what you're supposed to look like? This is how you're supposed to throw a ball. This is what your grades are supposed to look like. And as a result, they are deformed by all of the requirements that we put upon them. When I look at this little image of this turtle, and I'm glad that they named him a funny name like Peanut, you just kind of want to think about, if you had the power within you, would you not want to liberate that turtle? Would you not want to liberate your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your friend? Would you not allow them to come into a place where God could cut off that restriction and allow them to breathe free? The first thing that happens is sometimes people will own that, and that's all they'll ever think about. That would never happen for somebody like me. The second thing that can often happen is deserts can be self-induced. We have a tendency to want to drift into those desert moments. If left to ourselves, we don't want to really follow God, but we drift into places that we don't really want to be, but we believe that we can't really have anything good. Moses chose to leave the land of Egypt and to settle as a foreigner, to escape. Oftentimes, deserts are those moments that we protect ourselves. They are those times when we enter a dryness in our life because it protects us from being open and vulnerable with other people. We put up these hard shells of just saying, I'm just a foreigner. I don't really get involved in that kind of stuff because it protects me. It allows me to hide away. And Moses was hiding away from his Egyptian heritage and from his Hebrew heritage. More than anything, he was running away from God. He was in a dryness and a land of wandering. And in that dry land, there's a time when all of the things that you thought were important to you get stripped away. It's a dry, arid place. And you say, what is my life? Where is God? I thought I could trust God to guide me, and I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn from here. In that moment of vulnerability, we realize that God is just waiting for that moment to be invited in. I love this quote that says, most problems in our lives stem from the irrational attempt. It's irrational to deny that the bad choices produce bad consequences. One of the things that we want to teach our kids as they grow up from our own personal experience, from our own personal wisdom, is that if you make bad choices, they give rise to bad consequences. They give rise to bad things. Most people just think the good things will always happen. And if we don't get something that is good, well, then God must be against us. There's a story about a guy I was talking to yesterday. He came and he noticed there was a new visitor in his church several weeks ago. And so he went and talked to him and said, we're so glad to have you. What brought you to our church? And he said, well, I went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and the doctor said I had this mass on my lung. And he said, it just really put me in the idea of, you know, where is God in my life and what am I doing? And so the pastor talked to him and was just really, you know, the guy was asking some deep spiritual questions. And a couple of weeks passed and pretty soon he stopped showing up. And he went and called him and said, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. And he said, well, it turned out that the mass was nothing. It turned out it was just a shadow on the, so I don't really need to be there after all. You know, sometimes we protect ourselves. We get into a shell and just say, I don't want to be that vulnerable until God tries to break in and the reality of what our lives are about come crashing in. Sometimes the deserts will define us, and sometimes we also go to a desert as a self-induced isolation. You know, we love the idea that the whole world is against us and we'll never really amount to many. It's a great way, it's a sense of denial, and it's a protective mechanism. But also, and I think especially for the life of Moses, it's also a time that deserts can refine you. Deserts have the way of taking the rough edges off, of recognizing that you've been through something rather horrendous, a time of loneliness, a time of vulnerability, a time of humility. Sometimes we all need to understand that the grace of God comes to us only through the value of humility that we invited in. Most times when people have funerals, they love that imagery of the 23rd Psalm. But in the 23rd Psalm, David is writing out of his own desert experience. When David was in isolation and hiding out in caves from Saul, who was trying to murder him, he was on the run, but he learned that sense of humility, and he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because thou art with me." David had experienced those dry moments in his life and knew that God was with him. He knew that God had been with him in the past and God would be with him in the future. Think about the value that that has to your life and to your future. To go through a desert season and to understand that God is with you. In Moses' own life, when he has that encounter of that burning bush, the one question that he asks God, the first question that he asks God, God said, "I'm going to send you to the Israelites." What does Moses ask him? "Who am I? Who am I? I don't know who I am." And God gives him a new identity. Until we go through that season of dryness, that season of isolation, we will not give up the past in order to embrace the future. Deserts have the power to define us and limit who we can become. We often will enter into a desert as a result of self-imposed and self-induced isolation. But God often will use those seasons of dryness in order to refine you. So let's look at how Moses responds, how it changes his life. How do these moments define who he is? C.S. Lewis says it best. He says, "Pain insists upon being attended to. We cannot ignore the reality of our suffering time. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our consciences, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Sometimes we become so overwhelmed by our pleasures and our prosperity that we're no longer able to hear the call of God until pain strips it from us. What does Moses learn from the desert? The first thing is, if you find yourself in a desert moment, look for the signs of God's presence. One day, Moses is out with the sheep, wandering around the desert, wandering around the mountain, when he sees a bush that is on fire. That by itself is not that spectacular. Many times in that dry, arid place, bushes would burn. That happens in dry places. But this bush is different. It is not consumed. It's out of the ordinary. And so whenever you find yourself in a dry, arid place, look for those signs that God is there. Maybe it's a card from a friend from long ago. Maybe it's a helping hand that somebody reaches out to you. Maybe it's a comforting hug or a smile. God saying, "This is your burning bush moment. I am there. I see what is happening." Moses said, "I will go over and see this site. I will begin to pursue because I know God has something better for me." Look for God's presence. The second thing is to listen for God's assurances. God does have a plan. God says to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this moment, when he realizes God's assurance to his people, God remembers his promises. He says, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He remembered God's assurance, God's presence. Sometimes we forget, and we have to be drawn back to that sense of God's presence and God's promises in our lives. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, we have to learn to trust God's plan. "I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." God has a plan. God has a plan for you to get you to the promised land, to get you to that place where there will no longer be dryness. There will only be prosperity in God's kingdom. But sometimes that journey requires us to strip away all of those doubts and all of those fears, to learn that even in the driest, most barren places, God is there. It is in this one moment that Moses asks, "Who are you?" And he says, I am that I am, that great phrase for which the Hebrews, for the rest of Scripture, would identify it as the term Yahweh, that undefined, mysterious presence of God. I am your past. Moses, I was there when you were put on the Nile River. I was there as you were growing up in Pharaoh's house. I was there and I saw what happened with the Egyptian. I saw you run and escape to Midian. I have seen your past. Moses, I am here in your present. I know where you are right now. I know what you're going through. And Moses, I know what your future is. I know the plan that I have for you. God is in our past, God is in our present, and God is in our future. I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. If you find yourself in a desert place today, if you're not sure where you to go, what the future holds, remember that God has a plan and that God is waiting for you to be refined. I want to show you one last picture, if you will. This is a flower that is called the Queen of the Desert. I found this the other day in a book. And the Queen of the Desert is an extremely special flower. It is perhaps one of the rarest of all flowers because it blooms for only one day in the desert. It blooms on a full moon, and it blooms only at night. It blooms in the darkness. It is very rare, but it has such beauty and such elegance to it. And so the question that I want to leave you this morning as you kind of prepare your heart for an encounter with God through communion, ask yourself, does my life reflect more of Peanut or the Queen of the Desert? Has my life been deformed by my past? It's restricted and it's tight. It's kind of grown around some bitterness and some hardness. I'm in a desert place that I can't let go of. Or are you one of these people that even in the darkness, even in that dryness, you allow the beauty to just burst forth? My life reminds me of the Queen of the Desert, where even in the hard places of life, there's new beauty that is bursting forth that God can only birth in those hard times. The challenge is that God knows your story and is waiting for you to come and receive the nourishment that he has in store for you. Let us pray. Father, I give you thanks and praise for our time together, for the power of your word, and for the testimony of your witness to Moses and to all of us about the growth that we have in Christ. Allow us, O God, to be free to follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.